some, get some.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates, because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You pirate.
It is a first down.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Well, you don't coach at East Carolina. You don't come to East Carolina. You don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
Whoever them are, I can promise you that.
And it's purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Yeah, 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 yeah. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul, and I don't back down not at all. Find out when the cannons explode.
All right, welcome to Into Sunday Night. That means it is the Sports Objective Extra Innings. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to bring him in. My friend for many, many years, he's put up with me, and we do a show together. His name is Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How you doing, man?
What's going on, Dave? Yeah, as we sit here on a Sunday night, Pirates salvage something from the weekend. I know we're decimated by injuries. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, this team just doesn't show a lot of fight. They get down. They get down, and Coach Godwin mentioned it today. They get down and feel sorry for themselves and don't have much fight. And glad to see today them show some fight. Some really nice defensive plays today in that game with the bases loaded. And we need to carry that momentum and effort down. You know, we're probably going to play Campbell. That's not official yet. That's been canceled, but that's the rumor. But we'll know for sure soon if we're playing Campbell Tuesday night. But really next weekend's what's most important. Unless we were to go 4-0 this week, that Campbell game really wouldn't matter much. So we got to take at least two from FAU and hope UAB and Rice lose at least one. And we'll be in good shape to finish second. We'd like to sweep FAU, but you know, at this point, who sees that happening?
Hey, by the way, let me bring in Alan Vig, because Alan, you've been covering this team for many, many years. Can you get on the horn and start calling people about the Campbell game and see if people know anything?
Well, you know, first thing we need to do is get on the horn and see if we can find a couple of pitchers. You know, I was thinking about warming up. I had a pretty good slider when I was younger. Man, it's just been the injury situation. I'm trying to think of another college baseball team that I can remember that has been hit this hard with injuries. It's been wild.
In the post-game interview, by the way, guys, I don't know if you know. I think Johnny does, but Coach Godwin said Sean Jenkins is out for the year. He's having surgery on Tuesday. So, anyway, that sucks. But as we bring in JR, our stats guy, Johnny, we're going to be talking a lot of stats tonight. The good news, the most important stat.
But we got to start referring to JR as Johnny Stats on the air. I was listening to Igloo the other I call him Igloo, but Jesus Christ. I was listening to Ico the other day. And all of a sudden, I hear Johnny Stats. That's just brand. So we're gonna change. You got to change your emoji, not your emoji, but your Chiron there at the bottom of your at the bottom of your graphic to say Johnny Stats instead of Johnny Robertson, and no more JR. If Patrick Johnson, Stephen Igo, and everybody else refers to you as Johnny Stats, JR, you are officially Johnny Stats.
Yeah. Well, if I change my name on my avatar, whatever you call it, it'd be the first time I've ever called myself that. I would never, like, say, hey, I'm Johnny Stats. I would never, I would never refer to myself as that. Clip Brock gave me that moniker, and I thank him because I didn't like it at the time, but, you know, it did serve me well.
This is an interesting thing from Tyler. He says, we definitely need pitchers. Could it possibly be on the strength coach? Maybe we need a new strength coach because of the injuries.
Well,
including Kyle, but other fighter fans too.
I don't know. And it's not our head football strength coach. He's doing a good job. You have somebody designated for baseball. I don't know who that is. And he may be doing a great job. I am not saying it is his fault by any means. He may be fantastic. it's just something you speculate about when you see a rash of injuries. Is there something we're doing from a conditioning standpoint wrong? And there may not be. Certainly not blaming our conditioning program for baseball or whoever's in charge of strength and conditioning for baseball. It's just speculation, and it's okay to speculate that. Just need to make sure that you are speculating. You have no facts or knowledge.
Yeah, and I've heard people speculate that it's Austin Knight's fault, and I can say with certainty that is not the case. You know, if you could point to me one pitcher that he's ever used that has suffered an injury, then you might have a case, but you can't do it. You can say Joe Webb. Joe Webb's fine, though.
Yeah. And
no, we don't overthrow people. So that's not.
No, we do not.
And that wouldn't be on Knight anyway. At least during games, that would be on Cliff. And, you know, unless we're working too much bullpen, or we're working not enough bullpen, or there's something in our mechanics that we're coaching wrong, then it's not on the pitching coach.
Josh O'Neill said, "You'll always be Johnny Stess to me." That's exactly
Josh
right.
Josh O'Neill's listening. You need awesome.
Hey, Johnny, seriously, that is a great brand. I mean, Alan, he can do Alanlytics. So
I will introduce myself, Johnny, as Kyle from LaGrange.
There you go. So, hey, you know. Getting back to the pitching injuries, though, I think it's a product of the times we're, you know, in right now. The pressure's on these young kids. You know, and they're in their select teams, and you know, velocity. What's his velocity? And I just think that these arms are getting used at a much higher rate earlier, and maybe they're just worn out by this point. I don't know, but there's definitely something going on. But it does seem like we have more than other teams by far.
No doubt. I mean, I just think it's one of those things where. Kyle, you being our football expert for sure, you know as well as I do, there's times when who knows what's going to happen, but let's say hypothetically this year that we have a ton of injuries and we're going, oh my God.
I'll stop talking about that.
No. I know. I just said hypothetically, but we know there's years where we have a ton of injuries. Sometimes sure. You just can't explain it.
Sometimes it'll hit one room, you know, and then do you wonder, hey, well, are we coaching that one position wrong? Is that the position coach? So sometimes it is just luck of the draw. JR makes a good point, though, about are these pitchers throwing too hard too early now, you know, in high school ball, rec league ball, travel ball, et cetera.
Yeah, Bubba says, what's up, Bubba?
Yeah, Bubba's saying the same thing.
I missed you today at the game, Bubba. He's saying about the roots of, like, he said, look at Coastal. Yeah, I mean, it's like when you don't give a chance for these guys to really, when I say develop, like one of the things I was going to ask you guys that comes to mind, and
you know, it's the academies, like the Justin speaks of, are they the problem? Do we just need to go back to playing high school baseball and leave it at that and quit trying to, develop major league, you know, guys used to get taken. What's so funny about this is back in the day, you know, back up until, you know, the last 20 years, more kids got taken out of high school to the MLB draft than going to college. Yeah. You know, now it's like 60-40 the other way. 60% of the draft is college players, maybe higher. So I don't really know what advantage these academies and throwing so hard in when you're a teenager still is doing. You're less of them are going pro early. Another of course, you're making more money in college than you would single A.
No, definitely that, because you're starving at single A. By the way, another point I want to make to you guys, being a family of being a baseball family and having someone that was a pitcher in the major leagues, I will argue also that sometimes I'm wondering if we're trying to. I understand strategy, so I'm not trying to be harsh, but I also wonder if these pitchers are, and I don't know the science behind it. Let's say it like that. But when you're learning, when all of a sudden these guys are having four or five, six different pitches, I mean, I'm wondering if that has anything to do with it. I'm talking about not at this level. I'm talking about starting them even younger, like Kyle's saying. So is the arms developing? Are they being overused like we're talking about at lower levels? And then by the time they come up here, they're more prone to injuries because they've been throwing.
Well, you need three or four good pitches. If you have six or seven pitches, then you ain't got one or two good pitches.
Well, that's what I feel. I'm just saying there. Have you noticed that though? Like today, when we were, I was talking to Charlie Hogan, but it's like if you have that sidearm pitch, right? When you have when you have that sidearm pitch, and you have these guys are saying, oh, we need to change your arm slot. We need to do this. It's like, no, whatever they came to the game, you know, to the dance with, whatever they came with, leave it alone. Sometimes you can, I'm not talking about our staff as far as, I'm just talking about in general. So let me be very clear on that. Sometimes any sport, name the sport, sometimes you can take a kid and they have a, they're comfortable with something and you can take them where that you just totally mess them up on their fundamentals. And maybe, hey, in fairness to their previous coaches, maybe they were not taught the fundamentals right, but I don't know. There's a lot of stuff we can look at and, you know, point the fingers or try to do that. But sometimes in life, things happen. That's a G-rated version of what I want to say. Things happen in life, and Coach talked about that. You get knocked down, you get back up. And so this team, when you get punched in the mouth, they're going to have to find a way to punch back and to fight and to have – I think it's so unfair to – I'll say this, guys. I think it's so unfair to Coach Godwin. Can you imagine having that team prepared and you have the fight like Cliff Godwin? And, Alan, you know what I'm talking about. You have the fight like Cliff Godwin. You have that grit. Anytime, any place, anywhere, we're going to fight you. And then the guys get punched in the mouth and they just fall over like they're dead.
Yeah. Hey, before Alan, before you answer that, I wanted to, Kyle brought up a point, and I just want to validate Kyle's point because this is just coincidentally, I did a stat on Major League Baseball players, and it turns out there's 780 MLB players on the 26-man active rosters. 435 of them came from college, 173 from high school, and 172 are international free agent signings. But the thing is, when it comes to those high school kids, only 69 of them are pitchers, and the 105 of them are position players. So, yeah, it's becoming rarer and rarer for high school kids to go to the major leagues as a pitcher.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why, you know, why waste your time doing all this stuff at that level when you're going to further develop in college? And I think now I wonder if this is going to become a trend now, if something that's going to be done – you know, if other schools are having this issue where kids are coming in banged up at the pitching position, and if there's going to be some, you know, it trickles down. If the pros aren't going to have good access to a lot of quality pitchers because of the injuries coming out of college, will colleges then, you know, be able to, you know, will there be some talk at lower levels at high school and these academies to, you know, quit working these pitchers so hard?
Yeah. I just think that it's, I mean, it could be several things. I just think it's some years, for whatever reason, you just have terrible luck. You just snake bitten for whatever reason. And I think that's the issue with ECU baseball this year. They've just been snake bitten with injuries. And it's, you know, an inordinate amount of injuries, but it's just one of those things. I would imagine if you look back at the history of a lot of teams, and obviously we don't follow that closely, this has happened quite a bit to a lot of other teams over the years. This is not something that's, you know, going to be an ECU problem. It's happened a lot, I'm sure.
I can never remember a team with this many injuries to the pitching staff. I mean, not just – I mean, we've had other injuries too, but the pitching staff particularly is just – decimated, and I'm not making excuses because personally, you know, I don't, you know, if you lose, you lose. What I don't like sometimes is just how quick this team seems to, as soon as things don't go their way, and I know I've said this a million times, we seem to fold. We get down, then we fold. I was hoping Friday night or Saturday night that we'd come back and win it late. I actually was embracing getting down and because we needed to do that, and you know, we just don't seem to have that ability. Once we get down, we just seem to give up.
This team tends to let things snowball,
yeah,
for whatever reason. Like after Rice tied the game Friday night at 5, we could have got out of the inning with a tie, yes, game, and that play, you know, where they threw the ball over the first baseman's head on a routine easy play. It's just been little things like that this year that they snowball, and before you know it, it's 10-5.
Right. And that's the thing that, you know, I can't say that's coaching. Like, that's not coaching.
No, I mean, how do you coach that?
Well, I'll say this. It can be. I'll go back to the Mike Houston analogy. And, again, I'm not accusing, just theorizing. I'm not in the dugout. I don't play for Coach Godwin. But I do know he's an old school guy. And I wonder if, you know, he runs a type ship. He's a disciplinarian. Again, his players typically love him, though. But I wonder when, you know, when things get tight, are the guys panicking because they're not relaxed? You know, it's the Mike Houston theory. Mike Houston was such a hard-nosed guy. When things didn't go right, guys would play tight, Charlotte game, for example, and just let things snowball. And once Blake Harrell took over, everything was more relaxed. And I wonder if the same thing. Godwin's from a, you know, I don't know how well he's adapting to this new era of player and NIL. He talked about it today. It was either today or Saturday. He mentioned about guys getting paid, and he wants guys to get paid, but you got to earn what you get paid. And I just wonder if, because of how intense he is, that if guys are playing tight now, just because these aren't all Cliff Godwin kids that he got out of high school like it used to be. Right. You know, these kids are coming from 15 dozen different places, and I just wonder if they're playing tight because they don't have that bulldog mentality that Cliff Godwin has and the players that he recruits out of high school and developed over 3-4 years normally have. I don't know. I'm theorizing. I'm not saying that's the case.
Kyle, I'll tell you what will make you play tight. Is when you see Colby Wallace get benched in the eighth inning of a game where we're trying to catch up, and you put in Matt Lashley for Colby. I get the left-right thing, but it's Colby Wallace. He's never been benched ever, and that was just – I found that to be an odd time to bench Colby. But, you know, what do I know? There may have been something. Maybe – I don't know. Maybe Colby said he had a stomach ache or something. I don't know.
I like Lashley's bat. I don't know if he's too banged up to start at shortstop. You know, can he give you, you know, the question, if you're too banged up to start at shortstop, can he give you one good at bat? Maybe. My question would be about base running. So more interested in the at bat. So would you, you know, theorize he gets a good hit, a double, whatever, home run, and then you put in a pinch runner, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so, but it was just weird that Lashley didn't start. He, you know, obviously he wasn't well enough to start at shortstop, or maybe he just preferred Nick. I don't know, but he was well enough to hit for Colby. That was, you know, I mean, that's just me. I'm sure that nobody in the Pirate Clubhouse is scratching their head because they understand. But you know, for me, it was a little bit weird.
Chuck's LA says, Coach Godwin laid it on the line in the post-game interview. If you don't do your job in the real world, you get fired. I hope that resonates with some of the young men on the team. Absolutely, because, look, my job at the hospital, if I don't perform, we have some great people that thankfully I have two great teams, honestly. If I didn't, then I would be a lot of sleepless nights. But I'm blessed to have a lot of good people that I have that answer to me. Then I have like an upline of like 4 or 5 people all the way up to the, obviously our CEO. So, you know, if we don't do our jobs, then we're gone. So there's a word accountability. And I think that's, we have values at ECU Health, and the A in IC East is accountability. And that's my thing right now, is that sometimes I think this team, when Kyle talks about panicking, if you panic, you're going to make mistakes. And, you know, like an easy routine, it's, you know, my parents talked about growing up the little things. All of a sudden with this team, those little things that seem so minor become really major, especially, you know, Igo and I were talking about today, this league is such a parity this year. You could argue the teams are not very good or whatever. We're just beating up on each other. But the bottom line is you cannot afford to make any mistakes.
Well, the thing is, I don't know. It's not the teams. It's that we're not elite like we used to be. I mean, Rice got the same record we do now. I mean, they're 30 wins also, or 29 wins. It's very similar. So there's, you know, there's good teams. There's just not great teams in this league. It's a solid league. It's just, you know, we're used to being at the top. But
hey, Kyle, can I give you a number real quick? This is the final RPI numbers after the conference tournament. 2021, we were 15th. 2022, we were 8th. 2023, we were 26th. 2024, we were 22nd. 2025, we were 54. And now I think we're sitting at 55, I think.
Yeah.
And I will just tell you this, guys. This is the hardest part for me, but Yes, I agree with Coach 1,000% about NIL, and I totally get it. But I will tell you this. We're going where he and I, where that line or where that where we like divide off is we just lost, by the way, rest in peace, Bobby Cox. But he makes me think about that star Leo, his coach Leo, with the pitching staff that they had, that starting pitching, guys, is some of the best we've ever seen in our lifetime, right? And I'm not saying we have to have the starting lineup of the Braves, okay? I'm not delusional.
Well, I'm sure Cliff would be happy if we could get, you know, guys at that level. If we had the money to spend, I'm sure we'd be happy to spend it.
We do. We do.
Is that Cliff just refusing to pay players?
Somewhat. He had told us, right, Alan? It comes down to they will be paid if they come in and they earn it. And I understand where he's coming from, so that's why I'm frustrated. He and I don't disagree on that. The problem is,
I have trouble believing that if we have an opportunity to get a kid who, let's say, was pitcher of the year in the CAA, and we have an opportunity to get him, and we had the money to get him, and he wants to come here versus going to NC State, that we're going, we're not going to pay you enough. We're going to make you come in and take less and earn it. I'm just saying
that's not the way I feel. I'm simply saying, I mean, you look
at that big donor. I hear you. I don't know. I hope that we're not doing that. JR, your thoughts on that, or what have you heard?
I haven't heard anything. I just interpreted, you know, the timing of Cliff's remark. And like you said, Kyle, it wasn't the first time he's mentioned that. I just wondered if he was speaking of Austin Irby, who's one of my favorites. So he I'm not trying to say anything negative about Austin Irby. It's just, it seemed to me, first of all, like that play at first base. You know, he was just trying to make a play. He realized he didn't field it cleanly. And then, you know, he tried too hard to get it to the base on time. And it was probably a poor decision. Maybe he should have eaten it. But at that point, it didn't matter. Anyhow, he got fired. Cliff fired him today. You know, Austin didn't start. Boucher did.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's specifically what he was talking about, because I know Austin did get paid and he deserved it because he was unstoppable at the end of the year last season. And I think other teams wanted him. There was LSU, one of the SEC teams. And, you know, he stayed. He got paid, and good for him.
You made a great point. This team, it's a combination of injuries and, in some cases, underperformance.
Yes.
You put that together along with a couple other little things here and there. And still, we've still got all of our goals ahead of us. We're this and that and the other, but we still got a shot.
Well, we don't have all our goals in front of us because our first goal is to host a regional.
Well, I mean, but still, you got a chance to go down to Clearwater and do something and get a regional with no problem, and then you go from there. So the season is not lost. It's been frustrating, yes, but there are teams that would kill to have the record that we have right now.
The team that played this weekend has no chance of winning the tournament in Clearwater. So the team that played this weekend cannot show up in Clearwater. If they are, then just don't go. Just save the money and don't go. We got to have today's defensive effort was inspired. Like to see that in Clearwater. The pitch is going to be what it's going to be, but the bats have got to come alive. And what I just want to see is effort. And when things don't go our way, like Coach Ruff used to always say constantly, play the next play.
This is the most Jekyll and Hyde team we probably had that I can remember. Yeah. I'm sure there have been others, but this is just – this team has been – I've said it before – consistently inconsistent.
No doubt.
That's it.
Kenny said at Cliff – I put Kenny's comment about Cliff adjusting his coaching style. He said Cliff had to adjust his coaching style to the NIL world. What is interesting about that to me is
– He said that.
These kids want to get paid now, and this is across the board in all sports. They want to get paid now, and they want to be treated, you know, like professionals and get paid. Yet this generation is the biggest bunch of babies that want to be coddled and have their asses wiped of any group of people I've ever seen in my life. That's across the board. So you can't have it both ways, boys and girls. Nope. You either want to get paid and you're treated like adults that are making more money than I am, or you want to be coddled and treated like a child. You don't get it both ways.
That's right, exactly. And now it's. I used to be really careful about criticizing college kids, you know, that are playing ball. But now these kids are are paid athletes. So I'm not going to over-criticize, but certainly now that I think you're held to a higher standard as a college athlete now before when you weren't getting paid, now that you are getting paid.
Like Cliff said, our offense is bipolar, Josh Thomas. Exactly. Here's my thing. I'm going to say this too. I'm glad that thank you, Josh, our good buddy. He said he wouldn't come on. He's going to stick to, I told him I wanted him to come on sometime, but he likes staying there just in the comments. But I'll say this, my frustration watching, and I don't have the baseball experience, right? I'm not trying to play armchair coach by any, I'm not criticizing Cliff, but I will say this. The one thing that I've noticed, that I've said this before and it showed up again today, we have trouble with quality at-bats. You see these guys that are fouling off balls that don't have the pitch they want. When they get the pitch they want, then they put into play. How many pop-ups are we seeing, guys? How many pop-ups, like over and over and over again? And I can't hit I'm not a Division I player. I'm not criticizing, like, I can do better. But to me, that's the one thing that it's been over and over and over again, is we have trouble with that. And the other thing is, when we talk about pitching, today at one point we had 6 walks and 3 hit by pitch and no runs. So we had a whole bunch, again, something that we had last year.
You know what, though, Dave? I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to mention who you're talking about. I mean, because I just don't. Yeah. But we know who it was. It doesn't matter who it was. He was a left-handed pitcher. And every single person he hit was a left-handed batter. And 3 of the 4 batters that he walked were left-handed batters, because he was coming in tight on the left. It was Luke Payne. I don't know why I said I won't say his name, because he wasn't doing anything wrong. And he, thank him for giving us a good start today, by the way, because he certainly did. But yeah, he was coming in tight on left-handers and just couldn't. He was just off just a little bit, and he was hitting and walking people, but he'd get himself out of the jams. So, he had a career high in strikeouts.
Some good defense, so get some double plays, some, you know, nice plays, catching some foul towers, God almighty, foul territory, stuff like that. So, please see that today. Look, winning a 3-0 ball game has not been our strength.
True, and again, rumors are going around, so we don't know yet. So I would like to point that out about Tuesday night with Campbell. I want to play that game because I'm tired of losing to Campbell, but maybe, you know, Allen has a point. Maybe that would be good for them to have, since we're going to Florida on Wednesday and we're going to be gone for quite a while.
And game 1's on Thursday.
Right.
Yeah, I just do not play Campbell at this point.
But you know what, though? I have a solution for that game.
Okay,
because it's always the Greenville game that gets canceled. Yeah, and sometimes we cancel it, sometimes they cancel it. We didn't have a midweek game last week. First of all, I think they should flip it so that the first game's in Greenville every other year at the least. We got catching up to do. And also, don't make it that last week. I don't know if there's some league mandate that you have to play a midweek game. If there was, you wouldn't be able to cancel it. So that can't be the case. Why was there no game scheduled last week and then one the week before you got to travel?
I know why. The reason we don't have a midweek game, non-conference game, if you will, is because of exams. So we had exams last week, and that's why we didn't.
Stupid education ruining sports again. Dang it.
I'm just being straight up. That's what it is. Otherwise, Johnny, you are spot on. We could have the Campbell game there, but that's why they don't play it. So that's why this past week, it gave us extra rest. But, you know, we had Friday. Look at it. We're this close. We're so close to having a sweep, or at least 2 out of 3. And it's because we can't close games. That's another thing, Kyle, to your point you just made. Having that 3-0 game, the reason I was having.
Well, some of the reason you can't close games comes down to pitching. But a lot of the rest of it is when you get behind, you got to respond at the bat. You know, you ain't got the pitching. So, you know, the way we're hitting, you know, there were a couple weeks ago, we were lighting it up on the scoreboard. Now we can't hit for shit. So, I don't know. Maybe we've been hot and cold. maybe the bats will get hot again and carry us through Clearwater.
This team does not have a lot of power, first of all, and we're not winning games like we used to. Hey, how many games of this year have we won 15-12 or 11-9 or what? Have been very few of those.
No, we 10 run rule people or we lose.
Yeah, so even if the pitching is decimated, you could still go out and score 15 runs once in a while and just out hit somebody. You know, but we haven't really been able to do that consistently.
Here's something funny. We only scored 3 runs today, and one of them was Davin Whitaker's home run to right field. And when he came out to the outfield, somebody said, "Hey, nice home run, Davin." He was like, "All honesty, that was the worst home run I've ever hit." He said, "I was trying to pull it backside because he was throwing mostly off-speed stuff because his fastball is garbage. And then he threw a fastball at me, and I was a little late on it. And I was trying to hit it after you guys in left field, and it went over the right field wall." He said, "That's because I barely made contact with it," he said. But, he said that was not one I'll remember as being a tremendous home run because he, you know.
I was happy.
He would have probably crushed it if he was a little bit earlier. He would have put it over the trees.
I tell you what, I love Nick Parham, man. Having that, he had one early in the year, so I only thought he had two. But he's a junior. He now has 3 home runs, 2 of which happened this year. And so happy for the guy because that was like, I was like, you know how our luck is? I said, that ball looks like it could, but it looks like it might, you know, be caught at the warning track or where we had like the, we got robbed. Who was it that got robbed in
left? Boucher field? Got absolutely, Boucher. You know, that's overused, that term. That, the left fielder absolutely pulled that thing back in the field. That was over the yellow line. I was right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I'm glad you could verify, Johnny. It looked like.
Yeah, it really and truly was over the wall.
That left fielder made a great play. But again.
You got to reach over there and grab it, Johnny, before he can get in his glove.
Well, there's a little girl between me and. I was hoping that she would pull a. What was that? Bartman? Steve Bartman?
Yeah, something I was going like to say, that. Come on, Bartman, grab that ball. That's
crazy. I was hoping Bartman. She would do that. But that. That their left fielder, Zachary Daigh, was very, very good. Very good.
Yeah. And so you look at it right now. It was, thank you, Jeff Collins. It was a good play. You just have to tip your hat on that. But another thing I noticed is the wind was not blowing that hard today. I've noticed when we're at Clark Eclair and the wind is really blowing, man, you can be careful. For both teams, it can be a hitter's ballpark. But anyway, grateful for us to get through the series. Do you guys want to break down some of the games with stats while we have?
If there's something relevant that is worth statistically being pointed out by John,
I would say if we had a rousing sweep, let's talk about every freaking inning. Let's talk about it. But yeah, man, I don't
care either way. I mean, honestly,
I'll tell you what, the Carolina Hurricanes bailed my Saturday out. I started off by going to the softball game, and those girls, you know, they played their hearts out to get to where they were, but. That didn't turn out well. And then the baseball game didn't turn out well. So at least the Hurricanes won Saturday to kind of salvage the day.
By the way, with the Hurricanes, they're 8-0. They have, hey, Kyle, we've got to go to a game, brother.
What round of the playoffs? I mean, how many freaking
rounds? It's 4 rounds. So we're
okay. So this is going, we're going around 3 now.
Going to the Eastern Conference Finals now.
All right. I didn't watch any of this round against the Flyers. And, Who do we know our opponent yet for the Eastern Conference Finals?
No.
Not yet. No, not yet.
Okay.
Hey, well, one thing we did not mention before we move on from Rice is how well Rice has been playing recently. They got to get some credit as well.
Yeah, they got 29 or 30 wins just like we do.
Yeah, they're no pushover all of a sudden, and they're going to be. It looks like they're going to be hot going to Clearwater.
Well, that's the problem, Alan. Is they're one game behind us now for second place, so we got to at least take 2 out of 3 from Florida Atlantic and hope they lose one to one of the worst teams in the conference as of late, Tulane. Right. And they got Tulane in Houston, so that may be a problem. The difference between finishing second and finishing third with the new conference format is a 1-round bye versus a 2-round bye.
Yeah, so, we gotta have that 2-round bye.
Yeah, but we need help. I hate to unless we sweep FAU, which you know we don't sweep on the road. We don't even win road series, but Tulane is the worst road team.
Well, we just needed them to lose one, as long as we did two.
I know, but still, I mean, they're playing at Rice. So
sweeps are hard to come by. So it's viable that Tulane could take one of those games.
They have to. Yeah, but it's Tulane, so they won't. Just because it's, you know, that's how they are with us.
They're going to do it.
Do anything to mess
with. They're going
to
do it. They're going to take two out of three. They're going to take two out of three from Tulane.
Well, they're trying to make the tournament, and you know when they get in, they're dangerous. So maybe that extra incentive will maybe they can squeeze a game out.
Let's all do the Tulane chant and hoping that they help us against Rice. Okay, you guys ready? Do y'all know it?
Yeah, no, but I'm following.
All right, one, a two, a hullaba hullabaloo, booray, booray, ICICTA, Tulane.
Tulane.
Yeah. Something else, guys, Clearwater. Clearwater is going to be wide open
this year.
It is going to be high drama. Anybody that's in it can win it. I think even though the double bye is a big advantage, but still I still think it's wide open. I don't think there's a clear cut favorite in the tournament coming up. I really don't.
Only 17 weekends until Pirate football. So there you go.
Yeah. I'm telling you again, guys, it's gonna be bullish. And that game we can't talk about, game one.
We can talk about it.
I will tell you that I will say this, that I have a very good source that Alabama's trying to get the game for a night game because they're playing East Carolina. It may not be like a 7 o'clock. It may be an earlier 12 or 3:30 game, but I do know that. So we'll see how that all plays out. But
prime time football, Pirates and Bama.
Prime time on SEC Network.
It may be right now. That's what they're hoping for, the SEC Network. But they could put another SEC. My point is, they can put another SEC game there. You know, like in that slot, and put us back.
You know what irritates the crap out of me is that. So week zero this year, the FCS is using that almost as week one. Right, I guess they are using it as week one. Every FCS team is playing on FBS week zero. Our friends at NC Central have, I forget who they play, but they have a game week zero, Texas Southern maybe. I wish we could have moved that game to week zero since so many FCS games. Pretty much every FCS team is playing week zero. I've never seen anything like it. Check your schedules if you haven't yet for college football season. So, we probably could have played that week zero with the new FCS scheduling rules where their week one is week zero. But that would have given us a game under our belt before Alabama, which I would have loved. But unfortunately, Central's playing, I believe, Texas Southern that weekend.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Josh O'Neill says he needs a Friday start in Clearwater. Chuck says, hypothetical, we win our next four games in the regular season with win two games in the tournament. Do we get an at-large? It'll be three games we have to win, right?
Well, it's not official yet, but if we did play Campbell and we went 4-0, and then I think we won two in the conference tournament, I think we would be nervous on Monday. But we would have a chance at an at-large, but that's the only way. James is bragging about sweeping JMU. Congratulations.
Well, he can brag all he wants because Southern Miss is going to be definitely hosting.
Yeah.
They're a good team. Very good team.
Yep. Maybe we'll find a way to be a three seed in Hattiesburg.
Yeah. Hey, here's something, though. I was just looking at these stats. I know I said I'm done with baseball, but I forgot to mention this. Okay, so Rice scored a total of 15 runs over the weekend, both of them game one and two. 12. 12 of the 15 runs came with two outs. So we had them down, you know, with two outs, and they racked up 12 runs on us with two outs.
They beat us playing Cliff Godwin baseball.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wrong game, yeah. And I knew there was a lot. I didn't know it was that. That's in.
Yeah, 12 of 15. And then yesterday, I mean, this is just trivia, but that three-run homer that broke our back yesterday, That was hit by one of the, they have like the most Texas roster of any team you're ever going to see. They have like three or four guys not from Texas. And the guy that hit that home run, Cole Green, is from Indian Trail, went to Sun Valley in North Carolina. So we had a North Carolina kid actually beat us in game two. And then one of the guys that hit a home run in game one is a Texas kid, but he transferred from Duke. So he's got Carolina ties too. But just thought I'd throw that out there.
No doubt. Yeah. Look, again, it just comes down to Allen as we're talking about it. When you're at bat, another thing I notice about this team, and I don't know if you guys noticed, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm overreacting. However, I've noticed that we watch a lot of strike threes. If it's anywhere close, you got to battle. You've got to protect that plate. And I've noticed that. Maybe it's not a – Johnny Stats is our stats expert, but I would love to see how many guys are taking strike three where they're caught looking. You know, I don't know.
It's happened a few times too much. We need more aggressive at-bats, prolonged at-bats. Foul shit off, boys. Foul shit off. Make that pitcher throw more pitches. Get into their bullpen. Wear him out.
Remember,
we struck out. I can tell you this, Dave. We struck out six times today. Two of them were that I know of were looking. And I can tell you, two out of six were looking.
I want to see about 46 foul balls. You know, just foul it off.
That's another thing with Cliff Godwin teams. You see standing up there for 20 minutes fouling off pitches. I mean, I've seen it for so many years.
Yeah, you know, the I'm going to throw an old player at you guys, but all three of you should know from the Braves, Bob Horner.
Of course.
And he used to be the best at fouling off pitches. He's one of the only guys I've ever seen as a player hit four home runs in a game. But anyway, that guy was amazing at just like, you're like, okay, he's waiting for that pitch and he can just drill it.
Yeah. We had two on our team the same year that were like that, Jacob Starling and JJC. They'll foul off 100 balls.
That's pirate baseball to me. That's when I know, you know, it's like I'm waiting for my pitch. I'll foul the thing off. And when he makes that least little bit mistake or he gives me that pitch I want, well, however you want to say it, then that's when I'm aggressive. I don't know.
This is not a criticism. I think it's a fact. This is one of the first Cliff Godwin teams that does not exude Cliff Godwin's personality.
I agree. Yes, because let me tell you something.
What was that comment that was just put up? Put that up again. Sorry, Matt.
That number one MA guy, mad guy, can never be said enough. But thank you guys for the show. Truly enjoy the commentary. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Hey, how do we say that name, Dave? Is it one? Is he from Massachusetts? Is it one MA guy?
No, mad guy. That one mad guy.
Mag. Okay. Well, I just want to make sure. I don't care. He can call himself anything he wants. I just want to make sure I call him what he wants to be called.
What's the mag stand for? Like flashlights, mag lights?
No, I think we don't need to go there because I think you can figure it out. And I have no problem with that.
Chuck, you're right on the money there.
Is that Matt? Is that who that is?
Dale Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame. Ridiculous. Don't get me started about Cooperstown, but Dale Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame. There's so many great players, and I'm not even talking about putting everybody in, but don't get me started about players that should be in the Hall of Fame that are not. There's so many good players, managers, people around the league, and because we have snobby baseball geeks that, you know, they don't even know how to hit a baseball, and they're going to not put in a lot of guys that should be put in. So that's I will tell you, Pete Rose should be in. The steroids guys, you can give me steroids. Let me tell you this. I'll just say this. You can give me steroids right now, and I won't be able to hit a home run, even in my like 20s. So there was talent there by pitching like Roger Clemens. There's a whole bunch of guys that should be in the Hall of Fame, and they didn't get the first ballot. That's their punishment. So I digress. But here's Kenneth. Georgia has openings in 2027 due to canceling the Florida Georgia home and home. Shall we jump on it? We just don't have that.
Jump on it. Like if they'll play us a home and home, but they're not going to play us a home and home.
Yeah. Anyway,
we need a home game for 27. We can't just go. We can just go do another road game.
Yeah, 82 and 83 MVP, exactly, Chuck. And Jeff Collins says that I'm right. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. I just feel strongly that Cooperstown needs to do a better job of letting more
guys. What is the reason why Dale Murphy isn't in? He certainly wasn't a steroid guy.
Because of the baseball geeks. That's what I'm telling you, man. I have an uncle right now, and that's why I get so upset about it. He's eligible this year, so maybe I shouldn't talk about it. He's eligible again. So in the what is the category when you have the old-time players? I forgot what it's called. But anyway, he's eligible finally again. And, you know, unfortunately, he should have been in where he could have, you know, he had 38 years in the league. He had a lot of accomplishments. And anyway, it is what it is. Yes, he didn't have 300 games, but he wasn't, and even in my estimation, he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he deserved to be in. And there's a lot of other guys I could rattle off, like Adele Murphy is another one. But anyway, let's see. Oh, John Packard. Hey, Brian Packard's dad. What's up, dude? John, you're the reason why we saw that UCLA series back in 19. You remember that, guys, where he did the
baseball? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's up, John Packard? Yeah, we think a lot of John Packard, and appreciate you, man, and appreciate your son, and glad that he's on the on the staff. Yeah. So that means a lot coming from you, John. And we have
talking about a clutch player that fought, and had that bulldog mentality. Bryant Packard was certainly the textbook definition of that, for sure.
And he's going to be one hell of a coach. I'm hoping that I hope he sticks with coaching, because Bryant's a good guy and he definitely knows the game. And having him and Agnos and those guys that are back, and a lot of the guys that are back that are former Cliff Godwin players, is very smart, because they can teach, you know, what Cliff Godwin expects. And especially in the transfer portal era, when you don't have the time, like Kyle was talking about earlier, where you don't have the 3 or 4 years to develop guys, they need to know the expectations right now. But no doubt about it, we've got to fight, and maybe we'll get.
I just wanted to say, Dave, I actually spoke to Jake Agnos after the game last night, and I said, "Hey, man, he's from Haymarket, so you know we're kind of like related almost." I said, "You know, this coaching staff is, it's so refreshing to have so many of you guys on this staff, and I know Bryant's. I think Bryant's taking care of the outfielders, among other things." But I just feel like, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I feel like they really enjoy working with each other, and they've all known each other before coming here. You know, they were teammates, and right. It's just a great situation. I hope they stay together for a long time.
Yeah. You talk about building culture, and without getting into the subject, how do you build culture when you have a year with a guy and then another group comes in, you have a year? It's very difficult to build the kind of culture that Cliff Godwin is so good at building, you know, when they're shipping players in and out, you know, so regularly.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I think for the most part, do a good job of recruiting guys from the high school. But one thing that Cliff has done a really good job, in my opinion, is he has made adjustments. And one of the major adjustments he had to make, and I appreciate him doing it, is the transfer portal. I mean, we don't have a choice but to do it, knowing that we're going to get guys to come in and play, and then they're gone. But and then, you know, to his point, to be fair to Cliff, is that let's say that I was talking about earlier with, again, rest in peace, Bobby Cox. Very sad to lose him. I think it was yesterday. But if you had 4 talented pitchers, right, 1 midweek guy and 3 guys for the weekend, and they were rock stars, and you pay them a lot of money, there's no guarantee that we're going to make it to Omaha. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, we can, there's still, in other words, they still have to perform. They still have to execute.
Yeah.
And we have, not just because John is up here, we have great coaches that are supporting Cliff Godwin that I think has been great. It takes a lot of pressure off of Cliff that they can work on individuals. Kind of like in football, when you have the position coaches and the position rooms, it's kind of the same thing with, now more so than ever, that we can hire these guys. So,
yeah. Hey, Cliff has said it many times. Sorry, Alan.
I'm sorry. I was going to say this has been a disappointment, but we still have a lot of baseball ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
And you never know. This could be the year. We don't know. We just don't know this. Hey, wouldn't it be typical, you know, ECU, great story if this was the team that punched their ticket to Omaha after everything they've been through.
Somebody's have to be Superman in that bullpen.
We just don't have the arm.
But this would be, and to your point, Alan, and to you guys, think about it. We're like, you know, we're up and then we're down, and all of a sudden, the right timing. And I'm not saying it's going to happen because right now, it's dicey right now. But we are Pirates. We can navigate the waters. And last year we went down. Remember, we went down to I was getting ready to say Omaha. My God, Clearwater got hot. We win the whole thing. I mean.
I think it's possible for us to win the conference tournament. I'd go to Omaha with this pitching staff. I will be excited just to make a regional this year and call it a year. You know, who knows? You get in the regional, some things go your way. Who knows? But at this point, first things first. Let's do our best to finish second. And then, have an easier path to that conference championship than Clearwater.
I'm with Kyle 1,000%. I want to keep the streak alive. Cliff is the only, baseball coach in the NCAA to have taken his team to a regional 7 consecutive seasons. Nobody else has done that. Nobody else did it 6. So he was the only one to do it 6. Now he's the only one to do it 7. I wanted to continue. I want another year because I'm selfish, and I agree with Kyle. Anything that happens after getting to a regional is just extra bonus.
This year.
I'm going to put it out there. I think we're going to be nervous as hell. Obviously, it's coming. We said it. Don't you guys remember back in February? It's going to come down to the. It's coming down to the last week. We still don't know.
There's too many teams.
It's
going
to come down to the conference championship.
Yeah, there's too many teams that are right on our heels that had a good weekend.
Maybe if we swept FAU and we make the championship game and lose it and some other teams near us do worse. But I think we better win the conference tournament at this point.
I agree. I'm just saying my point with the whole thing is that there's been across college baseball, if you look at it, there's been so much parity, people beating up on each other. There's been, I think you can make an argument.
But RPI is in the 50s, Dave. I mean, I don't know how much you can climb. I don't know. UTSA has got a pretty high RPI. I don't know how much we can climb.
Sweeping FAU on the road we would get some value for that because it's on the road and FAU's RPI has come up a little bit. But I think you're right, Kyle. I just don't think there's enough there. I hope I'm wrong. I could be.
So basically what we need to do is just win out, win the conference tournament. If we win the conference tournament, we're in regardless. Yeah. I say if we do that, I'm saying I'll go with I think we're going to be a 3 seed. I think we win the tournament.
We'll definitely be a 3 seed. Yeah, we're not going to be a 4 seed. And certainly not a 2 seed. So, we are 3 seed bound if we get in. It's just the question of
I could say something to make fans feel a little better. I can tell you a team that has a payroll probably 10 times what ours is, at least maybe. And we're 52 in RPI, and LSU is 57. And it doesn't look like they're going to make it. There won't be the only person that's going to be upset outside of Baton Rouge is the guy that owns the pizza place in Omaha that sells the Jell-O shots. You know, he's going to lose some business if they don't get there. But it looks like they're going to be left out unless they win their conference tournament. So this is not just us. Cliff said it many times. It's hard to win a college baseball game. Just is.
I was thinking about that walking to after I saw you, Johnny. I hear Dave Richmond. And I look at us, Johnny. So we talked a little bit. As I was walking away from Johnny, I thought about that. I should have asked Cliff today. Coach, tell us how hard people don't realize how hard it is to win. It is extremely hard at any level, and I can't imagine. I've never coached at the Division I level, but it's really, really hard. And not making excuses because he doesn't make excuses, but I think considering all that has transpired, like Alan said, we're very blessed to be in the position we are right now. because we could easily be where there is no hope whatsoever. We're having a really, really, really bad year. The only bad year that we had is 2017 with Cliff. That's it. And you can't count 2020 because nobody played in a regional. So you take, since Cliff is gone, we've only had one bad year, meaning not making a regional, period.
Yeah. I think some of our fans are spoiled.
We are spoiled. I mean, there's no question about that. We are very spoiled in a good, I mean, in a good way. We're spoiled. Our expectations are through the roof, and they should be, because we've had so much success for so long. But we are a spoiled bunch, that is for sure.
Well, I think what magnifies it even more is the success in baseball, but I think the lack of success in basketball.
Amen.
You know, so after football, thankfully we're having good football seasons again. You know, you don't have nothing to cheer for, you know, and until baseball comes around, with all due respect to women's basketball, in terms of men's sports. So there's a lot of passion for baseball and a lot of pride, and it's the one sport where we've been able to compete for national titles, and you don't want to think about those days being gone. We have a very high standard, and Cliff didn't set that standard. That standard was already in place with Coach Overton, Coach LeClaire, Coach Mazie, Billy Godwin. You know, they were all super regional Omaha contending teams. Cliff didn't make that standard, but Cliff continued that standard and maybe rose the bar a little bit. But, you know, he understands it, and he has that same standard. And you know, trying to hold on for second and having to win a conference tournament, or, you know, be very nervous on Sunday. You know, unless we sweep Florida Atlantic, there's no chance of us getting an at-large. And still then, it would be very slim. So, but Cliff doesn't want to be in this situation. This is not his standard. And I would expect, you know, things to change next year. If they don't change next year, you know, I don't know. I think they will, so we won't even go there. But at some point, Cliff's gonna get aggravated, I think, personally. You know, I wonder how aggravated he's getting with the current college game.
He is. He's been.
I wonder, you know, would Cliff be better? You know, if I don't know. I'm not gonna speculate stuff like that at this point. I know from a baseball standpoint, Cliff knows what the hell he's doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he's meant to be here, to be honest. I think it's a great fit for him.
No, if he was going to go somewhere else, he would have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah,
maybe if you're going to have to coach players to get paid, you might want to look at coaching pro ball if this current NIL system is just, you know, getting on your damn nerves so damn much. And I don't blame coaches for feeling that way. I would too.
Nope. There have been several coaches, as we know, to just throw up their hands and say, hey, I'm not doing this anymore.
Roy, and that is pure just random speculation on my part, by the way.
Yeah, that's a brutal travel schedule, though.
It is.
At his age, and he's just recently married. He may not want
to. There are only two jobs that Cliff will leave, and everybody knows, LSU and Mississippi, Ole Miss. And those are the two jobs. And other than that, you know, Georgia Tech, Alabama, blah, 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 this team. Yeah.
I don't think he should go to either one of those, Dave, because he does. I mean, I love Cliff, but you know he doesn't like being challenged by reporters at all. Well, good luck going to Oxford or Baton Rouge and thinking you're not going to get, because some of our local journalists, I mean, I feel like everybody's fair with them. They ask him, you know, a lot of times they're softball questions. But I mean, he doesn't want to go somewhere where they're just pounding on him. Why this, why that, he doesn't want that.
And I'm just saying, those are the only two jobs. If he were wanting to leave, he would have left years ago. The two jobs you have to be concerned about, we had that a few years ago, is LSU and Ole Miss. But I'm not touching that. I'm just saying. But I will tell you this, guys, before I forget too, you were talking about softball. I want to say this really quick. Shout out to Shane Winkler. He's turned that program around. He and you, Kyle, I'm going to give you credit because you were very good at coaches. You looked at the resume and you said, that's a blankety blank good hire. I remember that off air when he was hired. This is his year five. I mean, that atmosphere, they had the biggest crowd they've ever had for the Max and maybe even the American tournament. We are now the first time we've ever been in the finals. All we had to do was win yesterday on our home field, and we're going to a regional and hopefully one day to Oklahoma City. Before it was like delusional, like fanboy.
Is this year five for Winkler?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't realize he'd been here that long.
That pitcher that USF threw, though, was elite. Oh,
like, yeah.
Well, probably the best pitcher in our conference. And I mean, she was.
She was a
pitcher. She was nationally, like, coveted as far as a pitcher goes. Hey, did anybody watch that game? I'm just curious.
Yes, I was.
Did you see me? I was the one out there in, right behind Anna Sawyer. I was standing on the brick wall. So that I was way above the fence because I was trying to get some video footage, and
that was you, that
a few people did see me. So I was just wondering if you did. That was me.
I made the statement to my wife. I said, "Who is that devastatingly handsome guy standing
behind?" No, I was the other guy. I was the other one.
Yeah, the I thought you were going to streak on the field, but
anyway. No.
Okay. All right. No. Good. But that was guys. He's won over 500 games now. He's taken two teams already in Charleston Southern and George Washington. He was there for 3 years with George Washington. I think it's year 13. I think he had 13 years altogether in coaching, but yeah. 500 wins. He's doing the thing I like about him, and I'll tell you this much and we'll move on, but I wanted to give them their flowers and what they deserve. Coach is doing the best job I've seen, the balance of, you were talking about coaching in the transfer portal era. This guy takes the third or fourth best pitcher off of USF, and she's our ace, and she pitched her heart out. I mean, that was one thing I want to ask too, is how many pitches can a softball player have? Because she pitched like 165 the day before, and she pitched a whole bunch, you know, like she pitched a lot in 3 days. So I was just curious with the windup and everything. I didn't know that you could get like have that many days, but congratulations to Shane Winkler. Yes, we were disappointed, but it's nothing to be embarrassed about or ashamed of, because USF, you have to tip your hat, they were definitely the better team. But that shows that we're making huge progress. You know, I didn't know, Kyle, but it's been since 2011 since we've been in a championship game, and that was Conference USA. So That's what I'm saying. It was a really big deal for us to be there.
Winkler's doing a great job recruiting high school kids, local high school kids as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's what.
Unfortunately, I got involved too late in this season. That was the first game I was able to watch in person. But I'm going to tell you, I watched her last game as a Pirate. But Anna Sawyer is just wired differently. You can tell, like when she's in the outfield, she does not stand still. She's always pounding her glove, you know, pacing like a cat, like making sure she's in the perfect position, and she always is. I mean, I just enjoyed watching her play the outfield, to be honest with you. Win or lose, she, you know, she just played like amazing defense out there all tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. I was just really, really impressed, and I hate it because Anna Sawyer, you know, you think that when the great players, when we have great players, she was there for all 4 years. She did everything the right way. I wanted her to win at least, you know, a conference championship. But the great thing about her is that she was so good that, you know, it's like when you have a great player, those years go by very fast. I was thinking she was a junior and she was a senior. And I do pay attention to it. You know, I'm not a super fan. Yeah, by the way,
I did too, Dave.
Richard Osbrook is like our super fan of our show for softball. I'm not at his level, but I do pay attention to what's going on. And Johnny, you made a point. I will say this, and if you guys want to add it, we can move on. But they need to do a better job of, and I'm talking about the administration, if they can help it, I want to be fair. But a lot of times you have to pick baseball or softball. You can't do both. Yeah. And it'll be nice to have it where we could have it where the game is staggered, where one or the other is first. I would think the softball would go first, then us, but, you know, over at baseball. But I would love to be able to support both teams when you're literally right across the parking lot from them.
I agree, Dave.
I don't know how much scheduling is out of their hands, though, with TV and all that. Yeah. You know, that may be dictated by ESPN or whoever.
I don't think ESPN Plus probably cares too much what time you air your softball game. Well, unless they have certain hours, unless they have certain allotted time slots for certain sports, I don't know.
Well, it was great to see that the girls on ESPN2 on Saturday. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
very much. But anyway, we'll try to see if we can get Coach on. A great guy. He's doing everything the right way, and we know that it won't be long. The good news, it won't be long. We're going to be winning a conference championship, and will be in the tournament, and in the first time in a long time that we've made a regional. So always remember that, guys. You could be a team that hasn't made a regional in many years. We're making you regionals all the time in baseball. That's why we are. We talked about being spoiled. But is there anything else you
want to? Yeah, I want to say something sentimental.
Okay.
Sappy. Somebody, I don't know who it was, you put somebody's message on the screen earlier in the show, and it said, spent the whole weekend, Clare Stadium's just such a great place to spend a weekend, something like that, something to that effect. And I was just going to say, you know, on Friday and Saturday, things didn't go our way, but I think you all saw the picture of the sky that Matt Semenza posted Friday night. And then today's sky was just, I don't know, man. It's a special place. And it's, even when we're losing, it sucks, but it's still great to be there.
Matt wasn't at the baseball games this weekend, was he?
No, but he posted a picture that somebody else posted, and it was yeah, a spectacular nighttime.
Well, I was purple sky. Cousin. Semenza came to town and didn't let anybody know.
No, he didn't do that.
We do have some gorgeous sunsets at Clark.
Yeah, and it's just good people, and it's like Josh Thomas, you know, hanging out with the people that he, you know, tailgates with. It's just a great weekend, win or lose, but it's much better when we win, obviously.
The booby cock. Oh, no, okay. Bobby Cox and Ted Turner, our celebration will live be on air on TBS at, how about that, 7:05?
When?
Yeah. And I'm sure Bobby's happy that he outlived Ted, even if it was by a couple of days.
Is that serious? When is that?
Now, is he just being facetious? Is there actually a celebration?
No, I think there really is.
Living a pop when? Tomorrow?
Yeah, Josh.
Josh left that part out.
Yeah.
Well, the Braves and Cubs play starting Tuesday. And it's going to be the Braves' first home game since Bobby Cox passed away, second home game since Ted Turner passed away.
Oh man.
And the Cubs are on a 2-game losing streak.
Damn it, Josh. Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, they should make it. They should make one.
It was going to be hosted by Jim Ross.
I was getting ready to watch.
Great. Actually, that would be really good. That would be, I love Jim Ross. So, that
Gordon
would be.
Gordon Solie, God bless him, miss him.
Yeah, I remember. Didn't he and Jim Ross do some stuff together in the?
Yes, they did some pay per view stuff. Yes,
I think he had a lot of adult beverages as well.
We're going to talk about Tony Schiavone, TBS, the guy who did more stuff on TBS than Jim Ross would be Schiavone, and he's still on TBS quite a bit.
And he did do a tribute to Ted Turner. TBS shows because Ted wanted you to, if you wanted to watch something. And then you flip over to his channel, then it gave you a chance where you didn't miss any of the shows or games. So
yeah, 6:05 Saturday night, WCW wrestling was always a big deal. And then all the Cubs games started at 7:05, 8:05, whatever.
Well, Ted built his legacy on
Braves games, rather.
Atlanta Braves and the movie, you know, acquiring the movies and all doing all that, and then obviously the wrestling. Wasn't it a deal where there was two products? Wasn't Ann Gunkel? She broke off from the
NWA. God, you want the Georgia wrestling war history?
And I think Ann Gunkel had something to do with breaking off. So there was two different.
There was. You had Ann Gunkel, and then you had the promotion that, you know, Ole would take over, and what Ted would eventually, you know, Bobby. Yeah, in the '70s, you had two promotions in Georgia. You had the Ann Gunkel promotion, and then you had the one that that, you know, would eventually take over on TBS that was ran at that time. I don't know who owned it, but the guy who booked it at that time was help me out, Alan.
Jim Barnett,
thank you.
Barnett
was booking in the early days of TBS at Georgia Championship Wrestling on the Superstation in the late '70s with, oddly enough, their top star in the late '70s. 79, 78, 80, 81, 82 was a guy named Wildfire, Tommy Rich.
Yeah, he's not here tonight.
But and then that evolved into you had the brief Black Saturday where McMahon took over the TBS time spot and it didn't work.
Horrible.
Vince sold to Crockett, who then, you know, bought out Ole because Ole had restarted Georgia Championship Wrestling, called a Championship Wrestling from
Georgia. The Briscoes stabbed Ole in the back.
Yes. Yeah, the Briscoes sold to Vince, and that's how he was able to get that time slot. And so Ole restarted. He was given a early morning time slot on Saturday on TBS. Jim Crockett Promotions ended up buying the time slot from McMahon, put NWA Wrestling back at 6:05 on TBS, bought out Ole, and Georgia Championship Wrestling and Jim Crockett Promotions basically became the NWA at that point.
The famous Ole Anderson, Vince said, Ole, come to work for me. And Ole said, bleep you and bleep your wife too.
Yeah, it was come work for me. Come work for me. He said, go F yourself. And then he said something to the effect of, Ole, this is my wife Linda. He said, yeah, and F her too.
Ole was a pretty good interview, by the way. I had him on in 2003 when I was working in Gold.
You caught him on a good day, apparently.
Yeah. He was not grouchy, or he was very. He told me how many times he hated Ric Flair.
Really?
But yeah, I don't think he got along with anybody, really.
He
had a great mind. Ole was a genius in the wrestling business, but he was not the most warm and fuzzy human to ever walk.
Cornette tells a story where Ole comes up to him, and he's late 80s, early 90s. Early 90s, I think, at this point, and says, Jim, I used to think you were a dumb shit, but so many dumb shits have come along in this business since you've moved up the pecking order without doing anything.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. That is, yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing, guys. I got a chance to meet him and Bob Caudle. God rest his soul. He just passed away in the lobby of the Hilton there in Charlotte. I love that wrestle where they have the old wrestlers and everything. But anyway, it'd be great to do that. Let's see.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this. I mentioned it briefly earlier. I wanted to get JR's thoughts with the big game in the NL this week, the My Cubs and his Braves. JR, you have any thoughts on the series?
No, Kyle. I we'll table that. I have my thoughts, but I don't want to I wish your Cubs well, but not really. I do like Dansby Swanson because he used to be a Brave. But Braves are hot right now. The Cubs are hot right now. They both lost. They both recently lost. But
is this an NLCS championship series preview?
It could be. Now it looks well. You know, the Dodgers. You never count them out ever.
Yeah.
I hate and you just don't know. There could be Braves, a collapse. I
mean, Cubs
by
got shut out the last. Cubs got shut out the last 2 days. Today was expected. I mean, that pitcher for the Rangers is unbelievable. But yesterday did not play well. So I don't know. I think the Braves are catching the Cubs at a good time.
No doubt. By the way, we wanted to let's go back to. Thank you, Johnny, for reminding me. Let's go back to some baseball really quick because I know Johnny. I wanted to pitch it to you. You had some great stats.
But you did too. You were aware of it. I just kind of filled in the blanks. I just wanted to say that Ethan Norby. You know, he's now at 280 strikeouts for his career. And all he has to do is get 16 more. And he will be, fourth place all time. Now, let's see. Right now he is – I'm sorry, Dave. I should have been better prepared. He's at 280. Right. And number four right now is Brooke Johnson. And Brooke Jernigan has 296. So if he can squeeze out 16 more strikeouts, and I figure he has probably at least two starts left. I'm going to say three.
Yeah, probably three.
And he's averaging like 7.5 strikeouts. But, you know, if he goes longer innings, he can do 10, 11, 12 strikeouts easily. So, it's just he deserves to be up there. I'm rooting for him to just break the 300 mark, and then it'll only be, you know, he'll be like the fourth all-time, you know, most proficient strikeout pitcher for the Pirates. And then on the other side, Jack and Grady are doing amazing things. First of all, Jack walked a handful of times again. He now has 47 walks on the season, which is 21.1% of the entire team. I mean, that's crazy. And yeah, and he's plus 20 walks to strikeouts. He's got 47 walks and only 27 strikeouts. That's elite area. When you're plus 20, when you walk 20 more times than you strike out, that's, you're getting things done. And then Grady Linehan, you know, he's only played, you know, he's missed a lot of games. I think he's played, what, 46, I think. He's been hit by pitch 16 times. Wow. So he's, yeah. So Grady's already fourth on the single season hit by pitch list. He's only behind Jacob Starling, who had 18. And then Kyle Roller was just, that guy got hit and walked more than any other Pirate in history. So Kyle had 24 one year and 22 the other. So Grady's only six off Kyle Roller. And like I said, he's missed about 10 games. So, you know, you don't want to see Grady get hit. That's the thing. And one of those hits was very costly, but I don't know what he does to get hit so much. But I just wanted to mention Grady and Jack and Ethan.
I'll tell you what it is because he's a very good hitter, and they know that the pitchers know that if you pitch anywhere with a strike, man, he has the ability to put it in play or to knock it out of the park. So
The scouting book is probably pitch him inside. That's why he gets hit so much.
Yep. But
that's what we did today. That's
why Kyle Roller somebody. Would just stick his shin out and it'd honk him, and he'd walk on or trot on down to first base.
Guys, do we have a pitcher of the week? Do you have anybody that
we shut him out today. Who pitched most of those innings?
Yeah, we did shut him out today, Kyle. But I mean, Luke Payne started the game and got us started.
We had Charlie Hoagland.
But Charlie came in.
And then also Rosie.
No, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, it's really.
Let's give it the staff effort for today. How about that? How about we give?
That's a tough call. I would have to say because Luke put seven people on in addition to his one hit, and Charlie only allowed one hit.
How many innings did Charlie pitch?
We'll give it to Charlie. Although, let's just go Kyle's way and give it today's entire staff today. Ethan got the win, by the way. Ethan Rose, he got the win. Yeah, so, and Hope Charlie got the save, but Luke got us in the position where we were in a position to win the game. So,
what about player of the week?
I mean,
Devin Whitaker, maybe.
Yeah, I mean. Davin had a couple of home runs. Yeah, I would say Devin Whitaker, Alan. That's a great choice.
Yep. I see. Sorry about that, guys. I had the wrong.
And they'll win two packs of Nerd gummy clusters.
And a year's supply of Rice Aroni.
The San Francisco treat.
Yeah, I don't know if it really is, but.
That's not what I heard the San Francisco treat was, Dave.
I'm not.
I hear one time testosterone, the San Francisco treat.
Yeah. So, guys, by the way, keeping an eye on the other Eastern Conference final, it looks like the Montreal Canadiens, they're in game three. The series is tied. They're up 6-2 late in the third. So, unless something but the great thing is they're only going to be up 2-1. So by our Hurricanes sweeping so early, they're getting a lot of rest here.
Yeah.
This might go. Let's hope they go game seven.
Yeah, if they can go seven games, Hurricanes will get a nice little siesta.
No doubt about it. So good luck to the Hurricanes there. We talked about, by the way, the Beast games. Really excited about that. That's going to be in 2 weeks at 8:00. So I guess I will not be doing that show that night unless you want to do it a different night.
Do you want me to sing Go Canes Go to the theme of Go Cubs Go?
You can if you want to.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, sure.
I do.
All right, here we go. Go, Canes, go. Go, Canes, go. Hey, Raleigh, what do you say? The Canes are gonna win today. They got the power, they got speed to be the best in the National Hockey League. This is the year, and the Canes are real. Now let's all get out to
Lenovo
Center. That one doesn't work at the end.
A clip
hard
that.
To rhyme something with Lenovo, isn't it?
Yeah, that one that doesn't work at the end.
You can, but it would not be complimentary. Let it clip that.
Right. All the great Hurricane songs we can use for Carolina.
Yeah, they. I tell you what, they're on a. They, by the way, they're here's a stat for you, Johnny Stats. They're 8-0. They have two sweeps. 8-0. It's the best since 1985. Is the last time that happened, and it's only happened, I think, five times in the history of the National Hockey League and the NHL. So there you
that
go.
That few. Wow.
Yeah,
I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, let's just be honest. It's going to be a major disappointment if they don't win the whole thing this year.
It's the 20th anniversary, guys, of the win of the Stanley Cup, and that would be really fitting for us to win it 20 years later. Hope that we don't. And here's another thing: this team has been what is it now? 8 straight years to the playoffs. And Kyle, you know, when we were, unfortunately, when we first started the podcast and we were still in the Scott Emo days, and we thought we were just really down in the dumps about not going to, you know, like now if we go to a bowl, everybody's like, oh my God, we can't go to that bowl because it's not good enough. But we had the Scott Emo days.
Whose voice is that?
I don't know. Nine wins in 3 years. So how about this? I just want to give you perspective, Kyle. The Hurricanes missed the playoffs 8 straight years. No, nine straight years. And half the league makes the playoffs. So it's really depressing when you have a hockey team and they can't make the playoffs. So anyway, imagine if the Pirates didn't go to a bowl 9 straight years.
We didn't go from 2014 to 2021, and then we didn't get to go in 21. So,
yeah, thank you, Boston College.
Boston College.
Yeah.
I still root against them because of that.
Oh, yes. God, I was. I don't know that many people's anger matched mine. A lot of disappointment. Mine was straight up fire-breathing anger. When I'm angry or upset about something and I can't do anything about it, it drives me crazy because I do nothing but obsess on it in my head.
You weren't on your way, were you, Kyle?
Oh, yes, I was. I was almost at the Virginia line.
Oh, boy.
And we would have been further along had we not got a late start. We'd have been well into Virginia.
Yeah, two biggest screw jobs ever with that was ECU, Boston College, and then what happened to NC State baseball.
Even though I don't like the Pack, not fair.
That was not fair at all.
That's just they're gonna study that time period in history over the next 25 or 30 years, and it's just gonna be like what?
You did what?
Yeah, exactly. It was irritating to me, and I'm one of those people that I'm like, just keep going. And I remember Central Michigan taking the bid in the Sun Bowl because it was closer when their bowl got canceled, and I was like, God, why don't we go to the freaking Sun Bowl? And then they beat Central Michigan ended up beating Purdue maybe in the Sun Bowl.
Special guest, guys. Sorry, Jared Vick is going back to Greensboro, so
hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, Jared Vick.
Safe travels.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the man right here.
Yeah. Be careful.
Right, be careful, buddy. I love you.
Love you too.
Be careful, please.
Is that your son?
You,
yes.
Yeah, that is.
What is up with your kids all living in Greensboro?
I got a daughter in Greensboro and a son in Greensboro and at least a half a dozen illegitimate children around the Greensboro area.
Wait a minute. You're not supposed to. All right.
But why? Why are they?
Well, Kendall went to school in Greensboro, and Jared got an engineering job out of college in Greensboro.
Okay. All right.
It just went to be.
So, yeah. Just so that just happened to be a good thing.
Okay.
Yep. They don't have any sentimental ties to Greensboro. It's just they both work there now. So.
Okay. Yep.
If I had my way, they'd live next door.
Greensboro's not that far. You've been there 2 hours.
No, it's 2 hours, 2.5 hours from me. Not and bad.
Congratulations
at all.
Again to Kendall for her.
Yeah, match. I also wanted to mention, guys. We had.
He named her after Kendall Windham.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. She's actually bigger than Kendall Windham. What was it at his? Yeah, he's a skinny guy. I wanted to. We had a family party today, and it was great. And I love my babies. I wanted to mention we keep talking about Carteret Speedway on Sunday the 24th, Memorial Day weekend Sunday. We are having a huge event and the return of the late models.
Okay.
So just FYI, if anybody.
What kind of models are they?
Late models.
Late model stocks are coming back.
I thought you were talking about models, like Christie Brinkley and.
The return of the late models. So are these going to be dead models coming back alive?
Yes.
That's what I was questioning.
Yes, Carol Alt and Twiggy will make an appearance.
Man, you'll have a whole bunch of older gentlemen that are like 60 plus that are like, where are they?
The Sports Illustrated white bathing suit Christy Brinkley issue changed my life.
I'm not going to ask why, but no.
Sticky pages of glue.
wrap your presents to your darling with glue.
By the way, don't forget Saturday, May 30th, right, is the
Confederate Railroad.
Yeah, so you country fans and 90s country fans, don't forget about that. And over 4,000 graduates for East Carolina. I want to make sure I tip my hat and say congratulations to them. And we're looking forward to many more great Pirates. And certainly, by the way, guys, we'll have more events coming up in the fall for the Alumni Association. So I'll tell you guys when we have more of those with the watch parties. But if you're an alum, or you're not alum, you're still invited. I know Alan is coming. Johnny and Kyle, I can't wait for y'all to like hang out with me at a future event.
When's the next one?
The next one will be Alabama, but I won't be there. So, Kyle, you could go to that and be in my.
You're going to have one at Tuscaloosa.
No. They're not doing one at Tuscaloosa.
I don't think we're doing one.
I said, when's the next one?
And you said at Alabama.
No. A watch party for the away game. It's going to be a watch party for the Alabama game. But Dave said he wouldn't be there.
Thank
you, Kyle, for clearing that up.
I went to the UTSA watch party. The game didn't go very well, but the party was excellent.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of
good. Well, they cheated, though, Alan.
Yeah, I can't wait for that 30 for 30. But anyway, I digress. But do you guys have anything else to talk about? By the way, the Hornets are going to pick I hate the lottery. I think that's the dumbest thing ever. Teams for the NBA tank still. I hate that. But anyway, the Hornets are going to pick, as of yesterday, I think they're going to pick 14th. So,
which at the beginning of the season, you never would have thought that.
Yeah.
No. You would have thought they would have been picking fourth or fifth, maybe.
Yeah. But
Four Horsemen documentary on tonight on A&E, by the way.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to check that out.
It was supposed to be the Road Warriors, and for some reason they decided not to air the Road Warriors tonight.
Probably not an A&E version of the Four Horsemen, but a true unedited, uncut documentary of the Four Horsemen would probably interest you way more than you think they are.
Yep.
What Four Horsemen are you speaking of?
Arn Anderson, Ollie Anderson, Tully Blanchard.
And then others like Barry Windham, Lex Luger, others.
I would be interested. Okay, I think we're talking about the original.
Horseman of the Apocalypse.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so it was wrestling. All right.
Yes, Four Horsemen.
The documentary
on A&E. And Ollie, yes.
Yeah, the documentaries on A&E, they've done an outstanding job. I think I like.
They're for the casual wrestling fan.
I'm sorry, Alan. It's been before my time, but wasn't there like old college football?
Yes, there was.
I thought somebody was going to do a documentary on that, and it's like I wouldn't watch that, but I would be more inclined to watch your wrestlers for sure.
Yeah, and I did watch the Hulk Hogan documentary on Netflix.
That was really good.
Brother, bless Terry's heart, rest in peace.
Up till the end.
But Terry could had Terry and the truth did not have a close relationship. When he said he beat the shit out of the Iron Sheik, I started cackling laughing.
Yeah, he would have killed him in a fight.
She would have killed him.
Yeah, Sheik
Well, you know, Alan, that Terry Bollea doesn't have a 10-inch penis, but Hulk Hogan does.
Yes. that's true.
He said that on a stand. He's like, well, you said, you know, in the video, you do not, and you said you did, and, well, Terry Bollea doesn't have a 10-inch penis, but Hulk Hogan does.
Well, you know, the cool thing, too, is I didn't really realize how pretty Linda was when she was young. Oh, what a beautiful lady she was.
Yeah. Linda Hogan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gorgeous.
You definitely would be able to tell. Yeah, I mean, you gorgeous. Tell what, as an older, yeah, she was, yeah, I don't know why that surprises you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never seen many pictures of young Linda, and I, you know, and she early beautiful. Age.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Hey, Dave, Josh Thomas says he never said he wouldn't come on the show if you would ever.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
If you ever wanted to ask him about anything, he'll come on.
Yeah, I saw that, and he's always welcome, and we have a lot of good people that don't want to come on, not because they don't like us, but they just don't want to be in the spotlight.
Yeah, so I get it. Fine.
Well, there's a few people that don't like us.
Yeah, Alan, you and I have that's why we bonded many years ago. So
everybody just loves me.
Actually, they do, Kyle. You would be surprised. More people. That's. Let me just say this about Kyle.
All right.
Uh oh.
No, it's not bad.
No, it's good. It's going to be good. I can tell.
He and I had a conversation, and I won't say what the conversation was about, but. The reality is a lot of people may think that Kyle and I hate each other or don't like each other. We are very passionate, and I will say this, in our society, it's okay if you disagree. And Kyle and I have times when we may have different directions of the way that ECU should be or the football, whatever program, athletics or whatever. But guess what? I love him to death. If he needs anything, I'll drop whatever I'm doing and help him. So if you want to believe that we don't like each other, then I have some oceanfront property in Arizona to sell you. And you believe all this AI stuff now.
From the front porch, you can see the sea.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to say that Kyle is actually a really good dude. And just because he's passionate about something doesn't mean that he's wrong or that he's a bad person. It just means he's passionate about the Pirates. And that's okay. Our society's got to get away from when you don't agree with something or you don't look the same way, you don't talk the same way or whatever. It's not reality that everybody's going to look the same, agree on everything. My children don't agree with a lot of the music, but they surprisingly like some of the music I like. So,
well, I mean, you like Florida Georgia Line, so I don't blame them.
Yeah. That's a deal breaker for me, Dave.
Yeah, definitely.
When you hang out with them, you understand. They're good dudes. They're good dudes.
I'm not planning on hanging out with them. But.
No, I'm not. I'm sure they're wonderful human beings.
Yeah.
But
their old camp peach whiskey's pretty good.
Just like with when everybody like knocks Rascal Flatts, right? That's not.
Oh, God.
No. Hear me out. Hear me out. That's not my cup of tea. The guys I've met.
Stevie likes them.
I've met them a few times. That's in the category of country for people that don't like country. But
so it's towards a lot.
I know it is poppy, but I did like, you know, they're the thing about those bands, a lot of them fade out very fast because it's poppy. But country music itself, and I'm not gonna get off this tangent, but country music itself has a big tent because you can go back, and Alan, you're more of a historian than I am, but you can go way, way back, and there's always a fight of what's country, what's not country. Just like
to me, it's not about what's country and what's not country. It's about being creative. I mean, I love traditional country, but you know, Cody Jinks, I'll use one of my favorite artists as an example. While he does put out some stuff that is hardcore country, there are times that he leans into the rock spectrum. I mean, he put out a full metal album. I mean, so it's about being creative, and there was nothing creative about what Florida Georgia Line did, and. And then Rascal Flatts is pop country. I mean, Rascal Flatts had a couple good songs for pop country. I'm Moving On. Help me out, Alan. Early 2000s.
Yeah,
it's not.
I thought,
uh,
I thought Bless the Broken Road was
That's
good.
Not bad. I'm moving on. God Bless the Broken Road.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, torture our listeners with Florida Georgia Line and Rascal Flatts.
Rascal Flatts. Yeah. They had three good songs.
They had What Hurts the Most is a very good song. And
yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, let me yeah, hold on.
The deal with me is very simple. I don't care if it's not country. That doesn't bother me. It's never bothered me. What bothers me is I don't care what the genre is, if it doesn't have any creativity to it.
Exactly.
That's where I draw the line. And I know it's a personal opinion. So
people that love that. I agree. Or if it's like
more power.
If it's all formula driven, like if it's just for country music, anyhow, it's even some of the videos that you see, it's just so overdone.
Because I suspect that everything Johnny Cash did sounded alike, and I love Johnny Cash, but everything he did sounded, because he was definitive. Oh, no,
I'm just talking about formula driven country music that's not, doesn't have any heart. It's just, let me mention all the, you know, keywords, key phrases.
Yeah, what I was going to say is What Hurts the Most was written by Jeffrey Steele, one of the best.
So close.
What started out as a heartbreak, right? Being like a love, you know, relationship breaking up. His son died and got killed in like a, I don't know if it was four-wheeler accident or something happened.
That's what I'm doing these days. That's the other Rascal Flatts song I was trying to think of. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that song means more to me now, because now it's more, he feels like it's more about losing a loved one, losing a child. So the meaning of the song for him. So when he performed that, when he told the story and he performed that, then, and a lot of times, here's another thing too, guys, a lot of times when you see the singer songwriters, their versions of the songs are better than the artist.
Absolutely.
I have nothing personally against Rascal Flatts would not be in my top category or like country music at all. But I've met them, nice guys. They have
one of my favorite country artists of today is definitely not traditional country. He's a friggin' lunatic, Paul Coffin.
Yep.
Definitely not traditional country.
Trivia: Jeffrey Steele was in what band?
Oh my God, I know it.
I know it too. And I want to say Diamond Rio, but that's not right.
He was in Boy Howdy.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Man, I would have been suffering all night. Thank you,
Jeffrey Steele wrote a lot of great songs, and he had a pretty big hit with a song called "Something in the Water."
I'll have to check that out. But he is really good.
Boy Howdy's first, not their first big hit. That was "A Cowboy's Born with a Broken Heart," but their first radio song that got any radio play at all.
Oh man, because Boy Howdy was one of those bands I was kind of like, yeah.
Wayne Carlisle liked this song. He used to play it on his morning show back when he had clout.
Boy, I'm sure Curb Records was good to WRNS back in that day. I'm trying to, what was it? Our Love Was Meant to Be?
No, it was a song, this is before Cowboys Born with a Broken Heart, it was a song called Thanks for the Ride.
Yeah, I don't remember. First one I ever remember was called Our Love Was Meant to Be. And then She'd Give Anything was a good song, too.
Yeah, She'd Give Anything was a big hit. And then All for One remade it, made it an R&B song.
And they don't make them like, was it? They don't make them like that
anymore. Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore. That was another hit for them. But Thanks for the Ride was an up-tempo song. It charted, but was, I don't even know if it broke the top 40. But I do remember WRNS played it some.
That's a great story about WRNS playing unusual things. I remember vividly hearing John Mellencamp's version of Under the Boardwalk, which was a B-side of R.O.C.K. in the USA on WRNS. And they also played one of my favorite country songs of the 90s by a non-country artist. Bob Seger's Blind Love is one of the best country songs of the 90s, hands down.
You know,
they played that a lot.
What song are you saying?
Blind Love by Bob Seger.
I don't know that off the top of my head.
Oh, man, you got me. That's one. I insist you look that up.
Bob Seger did a song with Martina McBride that was really good. Called, it's off the Hope Float soundtrack.
Yeah, it's like Chances Are or something.
Beautiful song.
But Kyle, you'll love Blind Love. Fiddles, tradition. Bob Seger sang better country than most of the artists that are considered country out of that time period.
I'll check that out.
Yep. I guess the Wind, that album, there's a lot of stuff that you could say from 1980. There's a lot of stuff that could be, you know, played. Fire Lake and some of those songs.
Yeah, Shame on the Moon was written by Rodney Crowell and was a big, you know, pop and country hit.
Yeah, back
then. Hey, fellas, I'm going to check out, but I just wanted to clarify with you, Dave. Next Thursday, you have something going on, right?
Well, this
are we having a show next Thursday? Because, I mean, the Pirates are playing baseball. I don't think there should be a show. No one's going to watch it.
Yeah, Wednesday, we're going to probably, I was going to tell you guys after the show, but thank you, Johnny. We're probably going to do a show, programming note. We're probably going to have to do a show on Wednesday night because Thursday is the game. So we'll see about if you guys can do that.
Yeah, we'll probably all be here. And I just, as JR said, we'll wrap it up now. But I'll get the sense that somebody else had. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
To all the mothers out there. My mother, unfortunately, has passed away.
Me too.
And so is my wife's mother. They're both passed away, so we really don't have anything to celebrate today. But happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And yeah.
Happy, I was going to say birthday. Happy Mother's Day to my mom and sister, Amy.
So, yeah. Happy birthday to my sister, I guess.
Yep. I mean, nothing like your mama. When you lose your mama, yeah, it's just that life is different after you lose your mom.
Yeah. Kind of like when, remember the movie Forrest Gump when he lost his mom?
Yeah.
Great movie.
Serious, right. Kyle, Blind Love. And then text me what you think after you hear
it. All right, I'll check it up.
All right, guys.
I'm going to listen to it, too, because it'll be the first Bob Seger song that I've ever liked. I can't stand them.
I truly believe that you'll go, oh, my goodness.
And I challenge everybody to listen to Paul Coffin and listen to a variety of songs. You pick your songs, but listen to multiple songs. And just when you think you've got his style figured out, he'll change up on you.
Wow. Wait a minute. Before we get out of here, she's now in the Country Music Hall of Fame. And Jeff, that is one of my favorite female country singers of all time. I love Patti Loveless. How can I help you say goodbye? I was involved with that one when I was a writer at BMI.
Nice. Jeff was a songwriter for BMI.
94. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the midnight. It was after.
No, I think it was 94, 95.
How can I help you say goodbye? 93 or 94, I would say off the top of my head.
It was after Blame It on the Heart, right?
Lying, cheating, cold dead, beating, two time and double dealing, mean, mistreating, loving heart.
Yeah, I love that.
Hey, Jeff, I'm just curious if you know Casey Beathard. I went to high school with him, and he's. We used to play football together, but we've kind of lost touch, but I'm still in touch with his brothers. I was just curious. He's a great guy. I always, enjoyed Casey.
Yeah. They had the singer songwriter stuff in Nashville and, for the country radio seminar. And I've met him a couple times just briefly, but love to have him on, Johnny, if you can make that happen. That's a summer show for us for sure. So
yeah, he has a great perspective on life. I'll tell you that right now. So,
that's your homework, Johnny. Make that happen.
He's a quiet dude. Funny. I don't know. He's very quiet, but we'll see. I'll ask.
Okay. All right. You don't. Well, it's not something you have to do tonight, but
don't worry about that. I'm not going to do that.
He's going to stay it up all night.
All right. Dave, how can I help you say goodbye?
We can say goodbye now. So,
what was Josh's message?
Two time and double dealing was the nickname we had for Danny Bill. That's right.
Oh, so, yeah. That's absolutely true.
All right, guys. We'll be out of here. Most likely, we'll be back on Wednesday night at 8. Until next time, you can look and follow. Kyle's doing a great job with our social media. So check that out. We're on everywhere. And we'll see you next time on the Sports Objective. Good night and go, Pirates.
You're watching the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.